In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. And how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So says the Samaritan woman to Jesus at Jacob's well. It is true that the Jews avoided any dealings with the Samaritans. To the Jews, the Samaritans were heretics and political rivals. Samaria was towards the north of the Holy Land, where they had built their own separate temple. They also had a different view of the Old Testament scriptures. They only accepted the first five books, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, and not the words of the later Jewish prophets. But something else is going on at Jacob's well. And it has to do with the status of women in society. In that time of Christ, men and women did not casually interact and chat as a rule. It was expected that females primarily communicated with male members of their own families or kinship group. The public marketplace might be one of the few exceptions for the sake of buying and selling. But women that would speak openly and casually with men were identified as women of ill repute who were found in the marketplace for other reasons. We note how the Jewish temple had a separate section for women only. One of the unique aspects of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ is that women followed him, specifically the myrrh-bearing women, who, as the scriptures note, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him. And there were said to be many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. This was extraordinary. Now, blasphemers have implied something else about it, but we see in the life of Christ the elevation of the position of women and a bestowing of the dignity of discipleship. Here we see in today's gospel Christ's complete respect for the woman of Samaria, even though she's a Samaritan, and to the extent that he even discusses theology with her, she of the five husbands. He is open to the uplifting and teaching of her soul, to taking time with her for the correction of her life, she who would be Saint Fotini, Svetlana, on the church calendar. He came to the house of Martha and Mary sat at his feet and listened to his words. He took time to teach her and no doubt taught the other women who followed him. St. Mary Magdalene came to be called equal to the apostles in church tradition. And we see later St. Paul greeting women disciples of the Lord in his epistles. In the epistle to Romans chapter 16, he writes, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, and asks the church at Rome to assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. He greets Priscilla and Aquila, a famous husband and wife team of the early church. And one of our newly baptized took St. Junia as her patron. St. Junia is mentioned in the same 16th chapter of Romans, where St. Paul writes, Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. For St. Paul to be a Christian is to be in Christ. So Andronicus and Junia were in Christ before him. And so we see that St. Junia, a woman, was noted among the apostles. She was had a good reputation among the apostles, even being imprisoned for her ministry, taken seriously enough as a threat to the pagan world to be imprisoned. In those times, the pagan Romans had a practice of abandoning female babies. A second or third girl would be discarded with the excuse that the families would not be able to afford their dowries later on. And it was the Christians who would claim these girl babies and baptize them and raise them up as their own. And as one scholar claims, that this is why Christian women often wound up marrying pagan men, because there was no shortage of Christian women, but there was a shortage of pagan men. And no doubt many of the marriages were entered into with the hopes of converting the husband and bringing him to the faith. So the point is, with the example of our Lord Jesus Christ himself and the evidence of the early church, it is Christianity that has exalted the place of women in Western society. And I suspect when I have said that over the years, and especially when preaching on Mother's Day, it has perhaps met with some skepticism in the ranks, especially since the church affirms a male priesthood as the iconic expression of Christ and of spiritual fatherhood, and encourage women to dress femininely and even to cover their heads in church. The church's point there is really vive la différence, that men and women should be distinctive looking and dress distinctly, rather than blurring the difference, as our society has done, as our president has done this week. But I dare now say to all of us, since 9/11, we have had some further cultural religious education, haven't we? An awakening. A comparison brought to our attention as to how women are treated elsewhere. Indeed, as property, as chattel, even as cattle, rather than as human beings. Human beings who bear equally the image of God, as Christian faith believes. And even there are orphanages full of girls in Hindu societies as well, and that's for a reason, and those orphanages are probably run by Christians mostly. It is because of our Christian faith, brothers and sisters, that there is a difference, and we see a sharp distinction as to how women live in our society versus others. We take it for granted. And yes, there is an excess and maybe an abuse of freedom, a forgetting of chastity, the risk of shamelessness, and of forgetting propriety. I can remember myself as a child that women, when they went out of the house just to go to the store or whatever, would cover their heads with a scarf. So modesty in dress, as we spoke of last week, and in looking at the body, is proper for Christians. And modern women have not always wanted to hear about modesty and chastity, or about the value of motherhood on such a day as today, though the pendulum has swung back to more of a balance. And indeed, how many young women today there are now who would long to be able to stay home and raise their young children and cannot afford to do so. And we say Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all our moms and mamas. And we say to Christian mothers, you are the first school of theology. You are the first school of theology for young Christians. Without your school of theology, there would be few attending the academic schools of theology later on. So you need to know your faith in order to hand it down to the next generation. It's no small thing. It's no small thing, we believe in the church, to raise disciples for Christ. You can better believe He appreciates your efforts, and so does His Holy Mother. The hand that rocks the cradle prepares the hands that hold the chalice. Christ promises the Samaritan woman living water without reservation, without discrimination against her sex. Oh, she needs repentance, but so do we all. But that living water is the very presence of God's grace, which produces holy women and holy men equally. I have met 4 holy people for sure in my life. And 2 are men and 2 are women. All of us, brothers and sisters, are called to be saints. It's a calling we all share. It's a high calling we are all aspiring to. It's a dignity that's given to us all, equally, by Christ. Men and women, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, husbands and wives, true worshipers who shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.